The day started off like any other day. How long he had been carried to the sheep market, how long he had laid on one of the five porches by the pool, how many times had he seen the waters stirred and somebody slip into the waters and be healed. But it was never him. Somebody else always got there first. Somebody always beat him into the waters. Bible said he'd been lame for 38 years. And I don't know how long he'd been coming, the Bible doesn't say, but I think it was for years and years he came to this same spot every single day. Maybe he had the same spot every single day. I mean, we are creatures of habits. Most of you sit in the same pew every time you come to church, and there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe this man, when he went to the pool by Bethsaida, he sat in the same spot day after day, month after month, year after year. And he'd seen many miracles. There was that blind lady that slipped into the waters when they were stirred by an angel that came out of the water receiving her sight. There was the deaf man who tumbled into the waters after the angel stirred it and came out with his hearing restored. There was that young child that had palsy that went into the waters that time, and he remembered when that young child came out free of his condition. They were all healed, all just by stepping into the water after an angel had stirred the water. That's what kept them going back. Day after day, month after month, year after year, to be the first one into the water after the angel stirred it. And today was no different than any other day that had been for the past years. He had to have help to get to the porch where he was. And thank God for his friends and for his family and for those that came by day after day. And with their help, he made his way to the pool. And at the end of the day, with their help, he made his way back home. At the beginning of the day, they come pick him up. At the end of the day, they take him back home. But they couldn't stay with him. They all had jobs. They all had other things that they needed to do. And every day after he got there, he was always alone. And he thought on many occasions, he said, if only one of my friends could stay, if only one of my family members could stay and they could help me when the waters are stirred, I could be the first one into the pool. I'd be able to get into that water if I just have somebody to help me beat everybody else there. So again, this day, no different than any other day. Same spot. The same anticipation. Will the angel come today and stir the water? And will I be able to get in before anybody else gets there? But then something happens that usually didn't happen. A stranger started walking in the sheep market. And as the man looked at him, he said to himself, I wonder what he is doing here. He certainly doesn't look sick. He's certainly not lame. He walks with a sure step. I don't see any indication that he's blind or deaf or anything else is wrong with him. He looks like a young man in his 30s that is in good physical condition. He looks like he has a strong body, a body that's healthy. And look at him. He's headed toward me. I wonder what he wants. And this stranger comes up to this man that had laid in this spot for 38 years, and he asks a question. Wilt thou be made whole? And the man had to think about it a little bit. And he reasoned with himself. What kind of question is that? I mean, look at the people that are gathered around the pool. There's all something wrong with us. I mean, there's a blind lady and there's a deaf man and there's a little girl that is possessed with a demon. Here I am that lame. There's scores of people laying around the pool, and here comes a stranger who apparently there's nothing wrong with him, and he asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? And again, he didn't say it out loud, but he said it to himself. Of course I want to be made whole. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have that desire. Why do you think I come to the same spot year after year? Why do you think I have my friends and my family bring me? Why do you think I spend day after day after day? I want to be made whole. That's why I'm here. That's why I've come to this spot. I want to use my legs. I want to be able to walk. And he reasons with himself. Well, maybe he wants to know why I'm never first into the water. And so out loud, he says to the stranger, he says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." He said to the stranger, and not in answer to the question, but in answer to the question he thought he was asking, "I do want to be made whole, and I know to be made whole I have to get into the water before anybody else, but I have nobody to help me. My friends and my family who bring me here every day, and I couldn't get here without them, they can't stay. And if they could stay, maybe sometime I could be the first in the water, but they don't get to stay. I'm here by myself. And before I can make my way down into the pool, as the angel has stirred it, somebody else always beats me into it. I have no man that helps me. Yes, I want to be made whole. Yes, I want to walk again. Why do you think I'm here? I have no man to help me, though." And no man could do what was about to be done. Maybe there were other people that had friends to help them into the pool. Maybe they were there. When they saw the waters stirred, they picked up their friends and carried them into the pool, and they were the first one in. But what was about to be done, no man could do, because this stranger was about to bring healing, not by getting this man in the pool, but by a spoken word. The stranger looks at this one who'd, for 38 years, hadn't been able to use his legs. And he says this, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Now here's what the man said to himself. Again, he didn't say it out loud. At least it's not recorded in the scripture. But here's what I think went through his head. He heard this one who he did not know. He heard this one who he did not have no idea who he was. He came and asked the questions, "Would you be made whole?" "Of course I would, but I have nobody to help me." And then he says, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And he says, "I can't do that. I've tried to do it for 38 years. I don't know how many times I've tried. I don't know how many times I've raised myself up on my elbows, and how many times I've used different pieces of furniture to get up on my feet. How many times have I done that and then fallen back to the ground because my legs have no strength, my legs have no firmness in them. There's no way that I can walk." But he looks at the stranger. There's something about him. He looks so kind. There's an authority in his voice that he's heard in no other person's voice. He says, "I've tried it 1,000 times, but I'm going to try it again." And in obedience to the word of God, in obedience to Jesus Christ, he rolls over on his knees. He starts to stand and feels an unknown strength coming into his legs and into his feet. He rises to his feet. And you want to think about somebody that was happy? You want to think about somebody that was overjoyed? I mean, this one that for 38 years had not been able to walk, at the word of God, "Rise up, take up thy bed and walk." He says, "I haven't been able to do it for 38 years. I've tried 1,000 times and failed every time." I think he said the same thing that Peter did when Peter went fishing with Jesus, and Jesus said, "Hey, cast your net on the side of the ship and draw up a great number of fish." And Peter said, "We fished all night. We haven't caught nothing. You don't know nothing about fishing. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. You don't catch fish in the middle of the day." But he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will be obedient. And Peter threw that net over the side of the ship, and the Bible says they caught so many fish that they got them into the ship, and the ship started to sink. They called their partners, James and John, and they loaded the fish in their ship, and it began to sink. They caught so many fish at the word of Jesus Christ that it filled up two boats, and those boats began to sink. And here was the same thing. A man who for 38 years never walked, never took one step, never was able to stand erect, never was able to stand upright. How many times had he tried? How many times had he got up and fallen? How many times had he wished that he'd be the first one into the water and be made whole? He says, nevertheless, at your word, I will try again. And he gets up and he walks. He's doing something he's never done before. And I want to tell you what, I don't think he just took a little walk. I think he jumped. I think he ran. I think he rejoiced, because for 38 years he had not been made whole. And at the word of Jesus Christ, he was made whole. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. I have 4 points I want to make this morning. Number one, there are many people around us just like this man. They are not whole. They are incomplete. There's something missing in their life. They live next door to us. They work at the desk or on the machine next to us. They're at the place where we go to school. They're at the place where we buy our groceries. They're at the place that we get our haircut. They're at baseball games. They're at football games. Every place we go, there are people just like this man that are incomplete, that are not whole. Some have been like that for 5 years, some for 10, some for 15, some for 20, some for perhaps as long as this man, 38 years, some for even longer than that. There are people that you will see tomorrow that are incomplete, that are not whole, that have been that way for 50 years, for 60 years, for 65, maybe even 70 years. There's something lacking in their life. There's something missing in their life. In this man's life, it was the inability to walk. You may not run into a lame man tomorrow, but you'll run into somebody that has something missing in their life. You may not run into a deaf man tomorrow, or a person that can't speak, or a person that can't walk, but you will come in contact tomorrow with people that have a need in their life. They are incomplete. They are not whole. And they long to be whole, just like this man did. They long to be healed, just like this man did. They long to be complete. And they'll look in different places. They'll look in their religion. They'll look in their works. They'll look in their wealth. They'll look in their pleasure. And they'll try everything that the world has to offer to get that thing that they're missing in their life into their life. But they won't find it in the world. And at the end of the day, they'll go home just like this man did many, many days, many, many months, many, many years in the same condition that they started the day with. Incomplete, not whole. Something missing in their life. In fact, there may be folks in this room this morning that are in that same condition. You may not be blind. You may not be lame. You may not have any sickness at all. But if you were honest with yourself and honest with God this morning, you would say, there's something in my life that's missing. I am incomplete. I may not even know what it is, but my life has no meaning. There's something missing. Second point is this, what they need. And if you're in that condition here this morning, what you need is Jesus. Amen. Is Jesus. He's the only solution. He's the only answer. He's the only one that can fill that empty spot in your life. He's the only person that can make you whole. You see, what's missing in your life and what was missing in this man's life, it wasn't just lameness. There was something else missing in this man's life. He didn't know what it was. And you may be here this morning and you may not know what it is either. But what's missing in your life is a relationship with God. You see, every single person, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you come from, I don't care what kind of background you have, you were created by God. And you were created by God to have a relationship with Him. He made you because He loved you. Before He made you, He knew He was going to love you. And He made you, and He wants you to have a relationship with Him. And until you, and by the way, that's the way He made every single one of us. You might think, oh, no, 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 preacher, you don't know. I don't believe in God. God didn't make me. I have no desire in my life for a relationship with God. Yes, you do. You just don't know about it. You do. You were made that way. You think God made you different than everybody else? He didn't. I know we're all different. Praise God for that. I'm glad we're not all the same. This world would be a boring place if we all were the same. I'm glad He made us all different. But there's one part of us that He made the same. Every single person. And that's the desire to have a relationship with Him. With our Maker, with our Creator, with our God. And I'll tell you this morning, you don't get that in a religion. You don't get that by working. You don't get that in education. You don't get that by wealth or pleasure. The only way you get that is by coming to the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I'll tell you, if you're here this morning and you have an empty spot in your life, I'll tell you exactly what you need. Some of you might say, well, if I had more money, I'd be better off. I wouldn't have to worry about paying my bills. I wouldn't have to worry about what I'm going to do tomorrow to get by. If I had more money, everything would be better and my life would be complete. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. You may think that, but I invite you to look. Some of the people that have the most money are some of the most miserable people in the world. Their life is a wreck. You think money will satisfy that longing that you had in your life? And I'm here to tell you this morning that it will not. In fact, nothing the world has to offer can meet this need. All the world can offer is empty promises. The world says, hey, yeah, I can help you take care of that desire that you have in your life. Just do this, or just do this, or just do this. And when you get to the bottom of it all, they're all empty promises. The world can do nothing, nothing, nothing to satisfy that desire that you have in your life for a relationship with God. Point number three, those people that we're going to run into tomorrow, those people that we're going to set beside, or we're going to walk beside, or we're going to rub elbows with tomorrow, that have this need in their life, they need some help getting to Jesus. They need some help. And you know what? That's our job. That's why God left us here. You think God would leave us in this miserable place if He didn't have a job for us to do? I mean, when at the beginning of the service, when I asked you to raise your hands if you were Christians, just about every hand went up. You're a child of God. And we sang about heaven in our first song. Heaven He has prepared for us. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so, for everyone that's here this morning that knows Jesus as your Savior, there is a place being prepared for you, as an individual, for you, in heaven, with God. And do you think once God has that prepared, and by the way, He created the world in 6 days, and some of us have been saved for a long time, He's probably got our place ready. That mansion in heaven that that Jesus talked about, it's probably done. It's probably ready. And you say, well, then why doesn't He take us to heaven? Why doesn't He get us out of this mess? Why does He leave us in this world? Because there are people that you will run into tomorrow that need to go to that same place, and they need your help to get there. They need your help to get to Jesus. They can't do it on their own. They're like this man that laid by the pool for 38 years. And his testimony was, I have no man to help me to get in the pool when the water stirred. I cannot do it myself. Somebody always beats me into the water, and they get the healing. They get to be made whole. They get to be made complete, but not me. I have no man that helps me. What a sad cry. What a sad cry. And I pray every day. I pray 4 or 5 times a day that there will be no person in my life. There will be no person in your life. There will be no person that this church has a contact with that will be their testimony. I never want anybody to say that comes into this place, I wanted to get to Jesus, but nobody helped me. I wanted to get that completeness and fullness in my life and have that relationship with my God, but nobody helped me. No, I want every person that comes into this place to go out of this place, whether they have received Jesus Christ or not, to say, I heard about Jesus this morning. I heard about Jesus tonight. I may have rejected him, but I heard what it takes to get my life full. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Bible. He was reading the book of Isaiah. He was reading about the Lamb of God that was sacrificed from the beginning of the world. And a man comes walking up beside his chariot and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, how can I unless some man guide me? And I'll just remind you this morning, there are people in our families, there are people in our neighborhoods, there are people in our workplaces, there are people all around us that are searching for God. They're searching for that thing that's missing in their life. And you and I have the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. But how can they find him? How can they understand unless some man guide him? And then number 4, as I close, I'll ask the same question that Jesus asked. I'll ask it on his behalf this morning. Wilt you be made whole? You that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you that have searched and searched for that something in your life that would give you peace, you that have looked in the corners of the world for that thing that would just make everything all right, I ask the same question that Jesus asked this man. Would you be made whole? I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that this man's healing came with his obedience to the Word of God. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And the man who, again, hadn't done it for 38 years, he could have said to himself, why? What are you talking about? I can't do that. You think if I could do that, I'd be here? I've tried thousands of times, and every time I've tried to get up, I've fallen back to the ground. I cannot do it. But it was when he said, I don't understand it. I don't see how it's going to work because I've tried it time after time after time after time. But in obedience to your word, I'm going to try it again. And the Bible says that he rose to his feet and walked. Do you know that your healing this morning will come the same way? It will come in obedience to the word of God. The Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from our Creator. The Bible says that God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die in our place. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then the Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'll tell you what. There's probably some people here this morning, and here's what you say, hey, preacher, I've tried everything. You don't know what I've tried in my life to get peace. You don't know what I've tried in my life to just to fill that void that's there. You just don't know. I've tried hundreds of things, and they've all come up empty. Every single one of them. So let me ask you this morning, why not try God? Why not be obedient to Him? The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Would you do that this morning? Would you? Hey, let me just be reasonable, let me use human wisdom for a second. You've tried everything else. Why not try God? Why not try Him? You've tried everything else. It hadn't worked. What's the harm in trying one more thing? What's the harm in trying it God's way? What's the harm in trusting Jesus? What do you got to lose? Huh? You haven't got a thing to lose. And you've got an eternity to gain. This morning, would you be obedient to the Word of God? Would you come and trust Him? Would you come and say, hey, Jesus, I may not understand it. I may not know all about it. Maybe I'm hearing it for the first time. I've never heard it put this way before. But I'm going to try it. I'm going to be obedient to what the Bible says. And I'm going to trust Jesus. And I'm going to see what happens. Would you do that this morning? Would you give Him a chance? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the gospel.